Some of us are old enough in this congregation to remember the days before the electronic era, where we used to send and receive. We still get a few, but you know, not as many Christmas cards and New Year's. You know, we would say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. It's kind of interesting to look and ponder some of those greetings that have been given related to the new year. Here's one of them that I've read that I wanted to share with you. Thought you'd find it interesting. Here's how it goes. I wish that the new year turns out to be a very special one for you, filling each day with peak of health, abundance of happiness and sunshine, bountiful luxury and prosperity, and zen-like serenity. You know, that's about the best we can do related to well-wishing. We wish you that you would have a happy new year. Good luck. We wish the very best. But you know, we live in a very uncertain world, both internationally, globally, and locally, nationally, and in our own personal lives. There are so many uncertainties out there. We don't know what 2016 is going to bring. We can make forecasts, predictions, we can set plans, but there's a lot of unknowns out there, and many of them are kind of risky, kind of scary, disconcerting. We want to try to manage our lives. We want to plan our lives as best we can. But there's so many things that are outside of our control, like our personal safety or our health or our finances or our relationships. How are we to cope as we step into 2016 and beyond in a dangerous world that we're living in and very uncertain times in our own personal lives? There are so many things about the future that are uncertain that can cause us a lot of angst, a lot of worry. But in the words of a song that some of us may have heard of a few decades ago, I don't know what tomorrow will bring, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. I've always liked that phrase. There's so many things about the future that causes uncertainty, but I know the one who's got it all under control. And he's the one who's holding my hand. I want to, in this message today, by the way, this message is custom designed by God for me. And I say that because I wrote this about 4 weeks ago or so. So I can say that. And it's custom made for you. It's custom made for Jose and Maria. In fact, I think it's custom made by God for all of us. As we look into 2016 with the uncertainties that we may be facing, I want to give some words of certainty that I hope will bolster you with great courage and faith. We are in the hands, if we've come to faith in God through his son Jesus, and if you haven't done that, put your hands in the life of Jesus to save your soul and to guide and direct your life. And for those of us who have, then we can know that we're in the hands of a God who is loving, infinitely wise, and all-powerful, infinity and powerful. And when we embrace him, then that means that things are out of control that we can't always manage, but he's the one who's managing all these things. We're going to be looking this morning very briefly in a very pragmatic way about what theologians call the sovereignty of God. As they look at the scriptures, as we study the scriptures, there's a lot of things outside of our control, but it's all under God's control. And it can bring great certainty and comfort to us. So the general nature of sovereignty I want to talk about for just a moment. There's a lot of great definitions for what sovereignty of God is, but here's how I'd put it pretty simply. It is that God is king, and he's the supreme ruler of the entire universe. It also, in one phrase, could be stated this way, God's in control. He's got it all under his control. And that includes all the things in the universe, in nature, history, the destiny of nations, the world, and our individual personal lives as well. It's all under his sovereign, wise, loving, powerful control, all that is orchestrated, even the evils in this world that will ultimately bring him glory. There are many biblical statements to that effect. One of them very profoundly stated in Isaiah chapter 46. I'd like us to read this out loud together, from Isaiah 46, portions of verses 9 through 11. Remember, I alone am God. I am God, and there is none like me. Everything I plan will come to pass, For whatever I wish, excuse me, I didn't read that right. How about starting that phrase over again? Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. I have said I would do it, and I will do it. I love that phrase. I find great comfort in it. Everything that I purpose to do, I'm paraphrasing, everything I purpose to do, everything I planned, everything I promised, count on it. I will do. You can count it because he's faithful to his promises. You can count it because he is powerful to fulfill those things. We can make vows to one another in marriage that we will love one another for as long as we both shall live. We can't say forever, but God can say forever. He's the God who controls all things, and we can entrust him. You know, if you were to look in the Bible and you were to decide this next year in 2016, I'm going to read through the Bible in 1 year, and I'm going to highlight in my Bible every place where it talks about the sovereignty of God, not that phrase, but concepts like that, the faithfulness of God, the power of God, the plans of God, his decrees for individuals and for the world, you would run out of ink before the year was over. It just permeates the scriptures over and over again, and it is for the glory of God these things are said, and therefore the security, the assurance, the certainty of believers like you and me who live in an uncertain world and live a life of uncertainty in our individual lives. And getting more specific and more practical, there are many dimensions of this, but 2016, I'd like to talk about how this affects your plans, how it affects your problems, and how it affects your prayers. God's control, his sovereignty, affects me in these three ways, among others. One is your plans and my plans. Because God is in control, my plans have a limit. There's a limitation. Our plans that we make, that we forecast, that we project, are all tentative. How many of you ever heard the phrase or used the phrase, sky's the limit, you know, related to business or our future? Well, not quite so. God is ultimately the limit. He's the one who determines the limitations of our plans and also the opportunities of our plans and the possibilities. Proverbs 19, verse 21. Would you read this one out loud with me? You can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. Have you discovered that you made plans and not all of them have come to fruition like you planned? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many of you ended up marrying the first person you thought you were going to marry? Well, okay, all right, good, that's good. How many of you got launched into a career that you intended to get into? Are in it today? I mean, that happens from time to time, but you know, there's a lot of changes in our plans. Things that we need to adjust or things that we couldn't have forecast that happened to us. Our plans have to be tentative because we can't see ahead with accuracy, with clarity, and there are too many variable factors that are outside of our control and our circumstances to manage. So our plans really are changeable. James chapter 4. James says these words, "Look here, you who say, today or tomorrow we are going to go to a certain town and we'll stay there for a year. We will do business there and make a profit." We're talking to business people. Now, the Bible certainly commends planning and wise strategizing. Just look at the book of Proverbs, for example. And this relates to business plans, financial, personal plans. It relates to church. We have 2016 strategic initiatives and plans for the coming year. It's good to set these plans, but we've got to be careful, James is saying. In verse 14, he continues, he says, "How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, and then it's gone." What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Let me read that again. What you ought to say, look at folks, we're not talking about saying the right things. We're talking about what we believe in the core of our being. So whether we say this every single time, I do say, if the Lord wills, or God willing, And that's a good phrase to use, but that can become mechanistic too. What James is talking about, it needs to be the disposition of faith and humility before God. If the Lord wants us to, we will live and we will do this or that. It is all subject to God's plans. It is good to make plans, but we also need to be under the submission and willingly with faith in the hands of God. Wise people who make plans for the future need to build in flexibility. I mean, you look at the Apostle Paul, a strategist, given a commission to go out and, you know, reach the Gentile world. And he, I'm confident, doesn't say this, but you just look at the map and see where he traveled. He went to key port cities. He had a strategy in mind, and he says, I tried to go here and I tried to go there. But circumstances changed. And he had to change with those circumstances under the providential hand of God. And we need to do the same in our own personal lives. So, you know, some people make their plans and they're so fixed that if they get altered in any kind of way, they get an ulcer. But a mature faith is a changeable disposition. It's flexible. It has to be related to our health, our finances, our ministries that we plan to do, our relationships. God ultimately is the one who directs our lives and calls the shots, and we live under his hand. So when we make plans, and we need to do so, it is wise for Oakwood to set forth in 2016 some strategic initiatives and some forecasts and some plans that we're going after. But we need to do so in partnership with God. To make plans and not do so in partnership with God is presumption. That's a wrong attitude, but the right attitude is cooperation with God. And how do we cooperate with God? Number one, we pray as we plan. And number two, we recognize even these plans that we set forth need to be placed into the hands of God and say, God, guide and direct as you please. As I look at the Apostle Paul, he made plans. God can move or change the direction of a ship, but a ship that hasn't got the sails up, it isn't got any destination going, is hard to move at all. And God's desire is that we would make plans, but we do so in cooperation and dependence upon him. Someone expressed it this way. Instead of asking God to bless what you are doing, ask God to help you to do what he is blessing. In other words, the agenda for our plans and our plan is to be God's agenda. His kingdom is to be the preeminent aspiration that we have in all of our plans, and that we submit ourselves to him. So since God has controlled my plans and your plans have a limit, we need to trust in God's sovereign hand and follow his leadership and do so in cooperation with him. Secondly, I'd like us to consider about our problems. Anybody have any problems? What's 2016 going to hold? A lot of good things, I hope. I don't know. But I can almost guarantee a lot of problems too. My problems, because God is in control of my problems, my life, my problems have a purpose. All of my problems, your problems, have a purpose. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Would you read this one out loud with me, please? Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. And by the way, later James says, just the next verse, and let endurance have its perfect result. God is in sovereign control. He has a design and purpose even behind our problems. What our role is to play is to respond with trust, with faith, with obedience in what God is doing, and to ask him for wisdom, in the text as it goes on, for wisdom how to respond to these challenges that come into our life so that we will not miss what God is wanting to do in building our character and our lives. God purposes trials to refine our character. Satan always is at work to bring about our fall. He is the one who brings temptation to our destruction. God is able to take those same dynamics that Satan is at work in. In James chapter 1, talks about the testings, and then later it talks about trials. And there's an interesting shift in words that James is using there to talk about the same events. Satan brings temptations. God transforms them into trials. That with his enabling grace, we are able to overcome those circumstances to the glory of God and to the refinement of our character. And we have a chance to grow. Life is not a series of events that have no meaning, things that just happen to us, or que sera, sera, whatever will be, whatever. Sometimes, you know, that's the phrase, whatever. You know, the Christian view is, well, this may be painful, this may be difficult, or I have uncertainties about the future, or I may be in a problem right now with health or relationships or finances or any number of things. But my problems have one purpose I can count on, that is God is in sovereign control and he loves me too much to leave me on my own. And he who died for me and gave his son Jesus to make payment for my sins is also going to be equipping us to refine in character until that work is done in our lives. Every event that happens in your life, someone has elsewhere said, I don't remember who, is Father filtered. Everything's filtered through the Father's plans for us. I mean, you look at Job. Even Job in that event, Satan has to ask God for permission to tempt Job. It was Father filtered. The things that happened to Job were not good. They were horrible. They were designed with evil intent. But God in his sovereignty is able to transform. Sometimes we don't understand why or what, but we know that he's got something greater, and that is to build and develop our character. Your plans have a limit. Your problems have a purpose. Don't miss the opportunity in those problems to grow. What about your prayers? Now, this is pretty exciting as well. My prayers, because God is in control, my prayers have impact. Now, think about this for, you may not have thought about this for a while, but prayers make a difference. They're worthwhile. It's not a waste of time. I have to admit there are times I pray. There are times that I pray out of duty or obligation without real faith involved. Do you ever do that? It's kind of like, you know, I said I would pray for this person, so I'm going to pray for them, and I'm going to, it's like wishing them well. Have you ever done that? But if we are praying to a God who is all-loving, infinitely wise, and all-powerful, that means when we are praying in the name of Jesus, those prayers are heard, and he has the power to respond according to his plans and purposes for his glory and to accomplish that which is, humanly speaking, impossible. Let me say something else in my own personal struggles with faith at times. There are times where, you know, someone's crediting an outcome, a circumstance in their life to God. I'm sorry, but sometimes I think, well, you want me to give you an illustration? Somebody was in an accident, a car accident. They got really seriously hurt, but oh, thank God there was an ambulance that was right there and they got me into the hospital in time. I'm thinking, well, if God was in it, why couldn't he have stopped the accident from happening? I mean, you know, that's sometimes what I think. That's cynicism. That is not faith. And you know, the interesting thing, I think we ought to look at this, is there's a lot of answers to prayer that have natural explanations to them that are really divine orchestrations of God. When we pray, sometimes we see miracles happen, superseding the laws of nature. There is no explanation, but it was the hand of God. So many times, the answers to God's prayer, we see it in the Bible as well, have natural explanations, but it's a providential orchestration of God's hand. And we need to give him thanks, the scripture says, in all things. And so we ought not to be amazed. We ought to be in awe and wonder how God orchestrates these things in our lives. And sometimes, yes, I don't understand. Why did that accident have to occur? But yes, we can be thankful that we got there to the hospital just in the nick of time. Thank you, God. See, we need to be thankful to God in all circumstances. And prayer works because God is not the kind of God who looks down from heaven and goes, boy, Paul, I'm sorry that you're in that situation. That is really tough. I love you a lot, but bro, you're on your own. You know, God is not a God who just sees with compassion and care, and we bring a prayer to him and it just feels good to us, but does nothing. John chapter 16, verse 24, a statement that is made in several times in John 15 and 16, it was rendered like this by Jesus. Until now, you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive so that your joy will be made full. Prayer is tapping into the resources of God's mysterious sovereign power. Look at the scriptures again and again, even in John several times. Jesus says, pray. I invite you to pray. The open invitation is there. Pray. James says you don't have because you don't ask of God. So we need to trust God with our job, with our kids, with our marriage, with our health, with our fears. Things that are outside of our control are under God's control. We can love and trust him. That's why I loved when we began the opening of this service. Christ is coming again. What's 2016 hold? I don't know, but I do know this. I mean, God's the sovereign control of my life, and he's got a destiny for the world that includes me, includes you, and it's grand and glorious. If you will pull out of your worship programs the next steps, I jotted down some possible responses that may be applicable for you. And you know, if you check one of these boxes, would you write this down and put it on your calendar or log it on your refrigerator or something like that? This is what I'm going to do in my faith response in 2016 to believe in the sovereignty of God in my life. It might be one of these, or you may adapt it, of course. I'll no longer ask God to bless my plans. Instead, I'll ask God to help me do what he is blessing. I want his will to be done more than mine. My will I want is to be his will. Or I will make my plans with prayer, and I'll do so with a sense of flexibility and trust in God's wise purposes. Or I will now believe, even when it is hard, that my life is ultimately God's powerful, wise, and loving hands. Or finally, I accept God's invitation to pray with greater passion and faith for his purposes to be fulfilled, because he's a powerful God. Nothing is impossible for him. Let's bow together in prayer. Lord, we've just touched on a massive concept of your nature and being, your faithfulness, your love, your wisdom, your power, that you are sovereign. There's so much that we do not understand, we do not grasp. We want to be people of faith and respond in faith, and in 2016, we want to be elevating that faith perspective, that our life is in your hands, and that we are cooperating with joyful, faith-filled hearts to be all that you purpose for us to be, to not miss a single opportunity to grow as you intend for us to grow in character, to realize that all of our problems have purposes, that all of our plans have limits with opportunities, and that our prayers do have impact. They do make a difference because we're praying at your invitation in the name of Jesus, who does all things according to your will and plan with great power, skill. And when we see the answers to prayer, we want to be responding with thankfulness. And when we don't see the answers to prayer the way we prayed, may we say, Lord, we're your servants. We trust you even though it hurts. May we be marked by that in 2016. And if we live long enough in the years ahead, or until Jesus returns. And what a day that will be. What an eternity that's coming. Thank you that we live, though we live in an uncertain world, we live in certainty because of you. Amen.